All right, we are back, and we're back. Yes, that's right, we are back. This is Dave the Clone, this is the Hollow Knight Network, and yes, you are not mishearing the internet. Don't adjust your antennas, which you younger listeners out there don't even know what I'm talking about, but what was it? The best laid plans of mice and men are often torn asunder. So yes, that one, that's the one that's more correct, that's life. As we know it. So without further ado, from me to you, welcome to 2020, and here we go, picking up right where we left off with the October 2019 New Jersey Horror Con. Just our way of saying welcome back to the fold, and by the way, the Hollow Knight Network can now proudly boast that we are a lifetime sponsor of this biannual event. That's right, every single New Jersey Horror Con from now until infinitum, we will be there with a table set up live, doing our thing, having a blast, and talking to awesome people like this. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. And can't say that we didn't come by and say it was all right. I don't know what I'm doing. I knew it's good to say hi to everybody. Welcome back and Happy New Year. Enjoy. We are back. All right, guys, Dave the Clone here for the Hollow Knight Network, and we are still rocking and rolling on site on day two of the October 2019 New Jersey Horror Con. With me on the mic is Scary Carrie.
Yep, thanks for having me.
And joining us now, I'm going to let him introduce himself a little bit more, but I'm going to say hi to Max Devonshire.
Hello.
And what are you here talking about, promoting? What have you got going on at New Jersey Horror Con this time around?
Well, we have a table, and we are talking about a feature film that we have coming out. We're starting shooting in late winter, early spring 2020. Based on a web series we did called Memoirs of the Macabre. You can find it on YouTube. Our production company, Supraliminal Films. It's Supraliminal. So
nice.
It sounded cool when we picked it out 10 years ago, but now it's like, why did we pick a name?
So instead of subliminal, it's supraliminal. So it's not below, it's above liminal.
That is exactly what it means.
So yeah. Far above, you have to look up to
damn,
see it.
Yeah.
And spell it to literally.
I like it, man. I like it. That's very cool. So what's the feature film about? And tell us where it came from. Is this your creative base? Maybe. Is this something that has been living in you for a long time? Give us a little bit of the brief history of the film.
Of course.
And the title.
The title is going to be Memoirs of the Macabre.
Okay.
It's the same as the web series.
Okay.
And we've had the idea now for... It's the four of us who do Supraliminal Films. One of the stories we've talked about 12 years ago. We talked about doing it as just like a short film. And the other ones are more recent, so there's going to be four stories total in a wraparound segment that ties the whole thing together. The tie together is the book, Memoirs of the Macabre. Four different stories. One is kind of what happens at the end of a slasher movie.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is a very From Dusk Till Dawn inspired piece.
Nice,
about
I'm already in on that one.
One is about a girl. It was in the film festival Friday night. We did a short that was kind of like a concept piece for the whole thing.
How did the reception go to that? How did people receive it?
So it's the first time I ever watched it with an audience because it was just a web release. It's called Internet Lead, and you can find it on our YouTube page.
Internet Lead, all right.
I do telemarketing as a day job.
Okay.
There you go.
So, yes.
A little bit of truth always sneaks into the stuff we do on the side.
That's right.
That's
so
the, best.
So the reception was good, though. The people were surprised. The shtick, the elevator pitch is a girl fills out a form online for suicide. She's thinking about possibly doing that, and then they call her, and the company ends up as the whole. They have a conversation, and they're like, "You know what? We agree with you. You should kill yourself."
Oh no!
And she's like, "Well, what are you talking about?" I'm like, "No, it's fine. Don't worry. We sent out specialists to help you."
Whoa!
Wow!
Yeah. So
now that sounds. You know all about that news case in the last year where there was this young woman in the middle of the country. I'm not going to even use names or specifics. People can Google this and find out about it. But her boyfriend was talking about killing himself for months. And he finally
after he made a couple attempts previously. He was finally in the truck with the hose running the carbon monoxide, and she sat there texting him every time he would say, I'm not sure if I should do this. She goes, you've been talking about doing this for 2 years. Do it.
Yep.
And it became this national thing where should she get in trouble for this? Is this considered like assisting suicide? Is it attempted murder? Is there, I think it's homicide by negligence maybe, because she could have called the police.
Or maybe manslaughter for encouraging it.
There's all kinds of stuff, but it's interesting that we've got that sort of concept being played out in one of these.
But in a corporate level.
Right. That's what scared me is the kind of like, as I've done the telemarketing thing, you realize like how much your name and phone number and email address are worth to companies. And it's like, that's really creepy.
Yeah.
And
oh
they just
my
keep
God.
Selling it from one company to another and another. Yeah. And it's like, this is really off-putting stuff.
I did do some telemarketing at one point in my life. And I remember those Dun & Bradstreet cards. And I was like, how is there an entire company that their whole business model is selling other people's information to telemarketing and marketing companies?
Yep.
But there is, man.
And
there
it's
is.
Frightening.
Yeah.
Frightening stuff.
So a lot of the sort of horror tropes that you look at are sort of from the world around you in reality then.
Yeah.
So,
things that scared me.
So, and after this is a feature-length film that's containing all these stories?
It is. It's going to be a feature-length anthology.
And do you feel that from the way this is going, that you see a lot more projects like this in the future for you after this one? Or especially after you showed it on Friday and saw it with an audience, you know? What are your feelings on what happens after this?
I mean, I'm up for whatever. I like doing the movie stuff. We do a lot of stuff now on our YouTube. We release videos every week. We do live streaming on Twitch. We do all kinds of stuff. So it's just fun getting to interact with people who are similarly nerdy, about the things we like. So I'm down for whatever people want to do. This one was tough because it's independently financed, so that was a bit of a bear. And but if somebody came along with deep enough pockets, I'd be down for whatever they want to do.
Nice.
Maybe not.
No, it's on the record
it's
now. You said anything. Well, so you hear that, people out there that have deep pockets.
There's a price
Max
for
said
everything.
Anything.
There is. There's a price. I mean, we can talk.
Well, I will tell you, though, that Dave's been talking to a lot of movie makers around here today, and that's a really common theme, is just not having the cash to fund this, but doing it with your heart and passion and friends and family and everything.
Yep.
And is that what's kind of pulled this together for you?
Yeah, it's been a lot of scraping and saving, and all of us have been, I've had a couple private investors who I got interested in the project. I have me, who's the bulk of the investing. I've been saving for like 9 years.
Wow.
To do this movie. So we got our DP is an Emmy award winning DP.
Nice.
We have a really good crew that's coming together for the piece. So I'm surprised every time somebody's like, no, I'm really interested in the project. Like, are you?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll take it.
Yeah, it's hard to find people who share your passion.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see so many people who are willing to work for not much money to get this thing off the ground.
It's awesome.
Now, are you also one of the people in the room who's balancing a day job in the interim between the weekends and nights where you work on your passion project?
Absolutely.
What's like, that balance like, or trying to keep balance like with that in the mix?
It's a struggle. It's like anybody else who's working multiple jobs to stay afloat. You know what I mean? I do the telemarketing gig during the day. That's a full-time gig. Sadly, I've become the director of operations for the telemarketing.
See what happens.
So I'm like in charge of a bunch of different call centers. And so it's
how's
stuff
that sad?
Sad because it's a lot of time and a lot of stress that takes me away from the things I'm passionate about. It started out as me just dialing on the phones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I can do this. I don't have to think. I can just talk, whatever.
Yeah.
But now it's like there's so much going on and I'm so ensconced in the business that it's like, I don't really have a lot of time to disconnect, but I mean, I'm still probably putting in 40 plus hours a week on all the stuff that we do and create.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, how does it feel to finally see something come to completion when you think about that level of I don't want to say burden, but that it takes that much energy out of your life, and that's a lot of the times you see people will hit those moments of, should I even keep going? Am I making the right choice? When you get to the other side of that, tell me a little bit about the reward you feel when you get to the other side of facing that fear down.
I mean, it's like anything, the feeling of finding like-minded people, finding like creating something that people really dig. I've been an artist my whole life, and putting out some piece of art that somebody's like, you know what, this is legitimately awesome and this inspires me and it, you know what I mean, kind of fuels my passions, is that's what it's all about, right? Kind of spreading that fire. So
nice.
I think it's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I'm curious, in the anthology that you have coming out, I want to know what the personal element is in each piece. I mean, if you have to, like, summarize it, hit the high
points.
Sure.
Well, we talked about the internet one. That right. one's very much like corporation and that kind of thing. So that frightens me. The one that takes place after the slasher movie is very much more an homage to EC Comics, which are a huge inspiration for me.
Okay.
One of them is a kid in the basement. We talked about that off mic. He goes into the basement, and every monster that he can imagine is in this basement. Mm. And so that's a culmination of me being afraid. And also, there's an allegory for a relationship he has with his stepfather that is possibly abusive. Mm. And so that kind of ties it together. We don't.
Who are the real monsters?
Right, exactly. And kind of what is he really afraid of and that kind of stuff. The wraparound story is just kind of, it's more cult-driven, and that's kind of my fear of people who get way too like-minded about a certain thing. And
like so, a hive mind.
Yes, exactly. It's all kind of like, there's real life fear in all of them to an extent. Mm. I guess the least so the one that's inspired by EC Comics, but it's realistic, but it's way over the top, kind of multiple things layered on top of each other.
What were some of the sort of foundational horror inspirations for you growing up that kind of led to the Max we're talking to now? And I mean, you had to have some cornerstones in there to even make you want to be a filmmaker. So.
Sure. Two things that really struck me young is the first thing I read, I was able to read at a really early age. I was able to read before I went to kindergarten. Like,
oh, wow.
I was able to read well.
So we're amongst genius right here.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But I just said I want to make a movie, so it's not quite genius. But
like, with your own money.
Went the other way on that.
Right. Goosebumps was a big one, and I read a lot of that in kindergarten. So my aunt decided to get me another kid's book, and she got me Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark when I was 5 years old.
We were just talking about that last night.
And it scared the absolute crap out of me. And so that really scared me. And then the other thing that I loved as a kid was the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Nice. Oh, the one that was looked like Ray and Egon.
Yes.
That had one of the scariest cartoon episodes ever. The monster was called What? And whenever anyone would say What, you would hear this super creepy, screamy voice. I, to this day, can think of that episode and get scared.
Oh, it's so good.
And I remember being at a friend's house, and we're watching it, and I'm like, this is the first time I'm ever afraid of a cartoon, and I'm not at home, and I don't know who to talk to, and I don't want to tell my friends' parents that I'm afraid, but that was a scary cartoon.
Wow. Yep.
Oh, my God.
And I like that because they fought the scary things, I think. So.
And they had, I don't know what that other Ghostbusters cartoon was. Like, I think, like, Ghostbusters, when it came out in the 80s, they weren't sure if they were going to make sure everything matched the movie. So there was a cartoon of Ghostbusters that had nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah, Filmation,
like, there was, like, a giant ape as part of the team.
Oh,
and they
I remember that,
They had these, like, non-Ghostbuster-y weapons. Yeah. And I remember, like, all my friends, when we turned around, we're like, what in the hell is this?
Yep.
And then they came out with the real Ghostbusters that had definitely. Slimer and everything, and we were like, okay, this is bad.
Yep, that's the good one.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
What have you seen here at the HorrorCon this year or so far at this show that may have been inspiring or standout or surprising to you that you didn't expect to see that's going to be kind of memorable for you for this show?
A lot of people out here doing similar things, which is great. A lot of artists making things and selling it, which is amazing. Like, usually you go to these shows and you see, like, a lot of bootleg DVD sales, and it's just kind of like, okay, cool, same 9 bootleg DVDs, we're going to sell them at every booth. This is not the case here. There's so many people who are into making things and creating things, and that is amazing. It's amazing. It's like, you just want to go around and, like, I'm mad I have a table because I want to go around and just look at people's stuff and pick their brains about why they're doing what they're doing.
It is one of the hardest things to change over from a convention attendee to a convention vendor or guest, because you suddenly are like, all right, cool, we're going to have all these amenities, but then you're like, but I cannot leave my table until I absolutely have to go to the bathroom or get some food.
That's right.
You know, and so there's a little bit of trade-off there, but, you know, for us, that was how I first started attending this con, was as press, so I could just kind of bounce around and see what was happening. And then once we started doing the table, it was like, all right, cool, we get to, like, rock the place out. But if I wanted to go see a film, like some of the films that you guys are showing, sometimes we'll talk to you guys and you say, oh yeah, it's showing tomorrow at like 2, and I'm like, I got like 3 interviews coming at 2, you know what I mean? Or I really can't leave the booth because I'm the only one who's going to be there at 2. So it's kind of like a tough balance. But the one thing that I do feel it never goes away is the sort of neighborhood community sort of atmosphere feeling up
yes.
here. So Hal and I, when we first got here this time, we was like, that's it, we're claiming this hallway, this is our neighborhood, and we're going to get to know all of our neighbors. So you guys are a couple of tables down from us on the other side there, so it was good to get to chat with you and talk yeah. about what you got going on. And,
I can't wait to check out your web stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely hope we can you know, follow up after we get a chance to see the film, because we yeah. obviously missed it on Friday, but yeah. if there is a way for us to check it out, we will, and we'd love to talk to you more. And then when you have new stuff going on, man, it'd be great for to just kind of keep checking in with us and let us know, and we'll keep following you guys. Where can all the folks listening to this now go to see more about you, see the trailers, see the films, and know what we're talking about?
If you can spell Superliminal, you will be able to find us. Superliminal Films, Superliminal Entertainment, Superliminal Games. We geek out about a bunch of stuff. Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm not good with any of that stuff, but we have people who are.
Sounds nice. Like it.
And so if you need to talk to me specifically, there's an email right on the website. It's contact@superliminalfilms.com. That's the fastest way to get us if you need something. If you just want to chit-chat with us, any of the socials, great. YouTube, Twitch, jump on. We stream weekly.
Nice.
So jump on and chat with us and have some fun.
How do you do that, man, and keep a full-time job? That's wild, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
Congratulations.
That's
yeah, congratulations on being able to pull that
Thank
off.
Thank you so much. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. We have a blast, and we love meeting people doing creative yeah. things. And I love the idea that we have this theme going on this year of everybody in their own way decided that they're not going to wait for the industry, and they're going to find a way to not only do their thing, but find a way to be giving back to other people in similar situations while doing their thing. It's one of the things that I think for people who don't come to HorrorCon or horror cons in general would have no idea, that this community is so open and inviting and welcoming and supporting.
Absolutely.
And it's one of the things that's always impressed me, not only just about New Jersey Horror Con, but about the sort of horror community, is people kind of, I think it's easy to think, oh, horror, gore, blood, I don't really like that, it has nothing for me. And really, it's like, oh, you want to do something else? Like, we were just talking to friends of ours who are producers, they did an anthology film, and it was a horror film. And then one of the guys who helps them do camera work at these shows wrote a romantic comedy, and so eight horror guys got together and did a rom-com.
That's awesome.
So you never know.
I gotta see that.
Like,
yeah,
you never
awesome.
Know what's
that's
gonna happen.
That's in your
happen.
Next book, Max. There you or go. Your next movie. I see it.
I'm in.
If you're
yeah.
open, man, hey, you know what? Hal and I might want to pitch you some ideas.
Cool. Yeah.
We should keep in touch.
Yeah,
and
yeah absolutely.
Keep this thing
oh,
going.
Congratulations. I'm really happy for you that you got to display your, you know, your work here.
Are you showing yeah. the film anywhere else after this?
The short is available right on our YouTube. So
okay.
superliminalfilms.com or right on our YouTube. If you type in Superliminal Films, it's called Internet Lead.
Ah, nice. Awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. So great talking to you, Max. I'm
yeah.
so happy I ran into you.
Yes,
can't
thanks.
Wait to see your film.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, man.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow 9.